As Congress considers extending the law that revolutionized welfare, it's finding this. 6 years after the fact, the welfare law is still producing surprises. One of them is a provision that cuts off benefits for anyone convicted of a drug offense. The provision was barely noticed at the time, but it's affecting tens of thousands of women and children. NPR's Barbara Bradley traveled to Pennsylvania, which is debating the ban. She has this report.
It sounded like a good idea at the time, and you'd think such a far-reaching provision in the Welfare Act would get some careful scrutiny. Not so, says Mark Maurer at the advocacy group, The Sentencing Project.
The debate lasted all of 2 minutes in the Senate before it was adopted as part of the welfare ban. It received virtually no media attention, no public debate at the time. It was slipped into this enormously complex process, and then the states were essentially told, here's a new policy, go ahead and implement it.
Congress allows states to opt out of the ban, but only about half have done so. Supporters of the ban say the idea is a valid one. Studies show that up to a quarter of welfare recipients abuse drugs, and Congress wanted to make sure that money that was supposed to buy milk and shoes for children didn't wind up in a crack dealer's pocket. But both conservatives and liberals agree the idea has gone awry. Amy Hirsch at Community Legal Services in Philadelphia says the law actually undermines the principles of the welfare law, which is supposed to move people from welfare to work and independence. Hirsch has studied the effect of the ban on women across Pennsylvania. She's heard story after story of women who knew they needed treatment and only agreed to a plea bargain to get it.
But they had not understood that part of the impact of that plea bargain was they had a conviction that would prevent them from getting public assistance after they were released.
And that's the irony.
They're feeling finally like their life is going to turn around. And they hit this brick wall where they can't get the help that they need in order to reunite their families, in order to stay clean and sober, in order to stay out of jail.
Some of those women live at a treatment center in suburban Philadelphia.
You go shopping? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll catch the bus.
All right, go.
Friday is hands down the best day at Interim House, what's considered Pennsylvania's best drug treatment program. It's the end of the week's counseling sessions and GED classes. It's the day to go shopping. The residential program is funded in part by the women's welfare payments, except for those women like Nadine with a felony drug conviction. Nadine is a recovering crack addict. She was shocked when she learned she could never get cash and food stamps again. The ban, she says, drives people back to the streets.
People make mistakes, ain't nobody perfect, you know. And when you're trying to turn your life around and then they just tell you, no, that's like just a knockdown. You know, you feel helpless then, you know. So you'd be like, hell with it, I'm just going to go out here and do what I got to do. And most people think like that.
And Nadine doesn't know the half of it. While she's at Interim House, everything's taken care of. Food and housing, clothes and toothpaste. But when she gets out on her own, that's when the ban on welfare will bite. That's when temptation will kick in. On Fridays, about a dozen graduates of Interim House get together to buck each other up. Keisha Pope, a svelte, beautiful 28-year-old, tells her group how she spent the previous day fantasizing about getting drugs. The group's counselor wants to know why.
What do you think's been going on? Why do you think you've been wanting to get high?
Because I want what I want when I want it, and I'm not getting what I want. And I feel like if I do what I used to do, I'd be able to get what I want.
What Keisha used to do is sell drugs, and after leaving the safety of Interim House, the urge grew stronger.
I struggled with the thought of wanting to sell drugs all the time because that was a means of me having money all the time, was selling drugs. And it's hard when I go visit my children, I don't have money to take them out, you know, things like that. And it's hard not having no money.
Keisha says the $204 a month in cash and food stamps isn't much compared to the bounty of drug deals. But if she's to stay clean, the welfare money is essential. Her four children, ages 4 through 11, are all in foster care because she has no income. That's one unintended consequence of the ban. Families are not reunited, but kept apart longer. Another unintended consequence is harder for Keisha to swallow, the way the ban punishes the least violent offenders.
I know, you know, a few people that's done worse crimes than I have done, like murder and rape and child molestation and stuff like that, and they're able to receive cash and food stamps from public assistance.
Now, you might take Keisha with a grain of salt, but what about Linda Mathers? Mathers is a director in Philadelphia's adult probation department. She doesn't deny there's a risk to giving cash to former drug offenders. She's been to many a house where the mother has been spending welfare money on drugs.
And there's three children, diapers need changing, house in disarray, and if we're lucky, there's a jar of peanut butter. So children absolutely do become neglected. But the way to stop that cycle is not to say, okay, you can't have the money to buy the jar of peanut butter anymore. I mean, we've got to get you help. We've got to stop the cycle. And certainly the way to do that is not to cut off all funding.
Now more than half the states have opted out of the ban, and several more are heading in that direction. In Pennsylvania, the legislature is considering a bill that would restore welfare benefits to people like Keisha, as long as they get the needed treatment. Among the largest supporters are police and prosecutors.
Most people consider prosecutors to be all conservative. In fact, what we're really about is reducing crime.
Gary Tennis, a legislative liaison for the Pennsylvania District Attorneys Association, says the support for the change is driven by hard statistics. 80% of people they arrest have serious substance abuse problems.
If a person who has an addiction and is involved in selling drugs or breaking into cars or whatever, if they can get the resources they need to get a leg up and to turn their life around, then they're going to stop committing crime.
Repealing the ban is a slow process. The Bush administration says it has no plans to push for a change at the federal level, so now each state legislature is having to vote to opt out of the ban. In the meantime, drug offenders will have to live with it. As for Keisha Pope, she will keep borrowing money from her mother so she can buy gifts for her children when she visits them in foster care. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Philadelphia.